Welcome to the podcast. It's Tuesday, August 26th. Get your hand up.
I am raising my hand triumphantly for the start of the new podcast.
Oh, I thought you had a question.
Oh, well, I do have some trivia for you.
Ah. You want to do this?
Let's do it.
This is fun.
Yeah. Is it? I'll know so he can't answer.
Okay, all right. Okay.
There are two pitchers in MLB history who have won two Cy Young multiple Cy Young Awards, multiple World Series championships, and thrown multiple no-hitters. So, rings, Cy Youngs, no-hitters. Two pitchers.
And
Randy Johnson.
I'll throw in one hit and say there are no Yankees.
Oh, wait, multiple rings.
Two or more.
Okay, Randy Johnson does not have multiple rings.
No, he doesn't.
Neither does Roger Clemens.
No, he doesn't.
Oh, man. Well, this is tough.
I went through like 10 guesses before I even got one.
Actually, Roger Clemens may, but he's never thrown a no-hitter, so he's out.
For some reason, I didn't think he had more than one, but he might. Yeah, I should know that. I can't remember what years he was on the Yankees. Shoot, I have no idea.
Should I?
Let's reveal.
Want me to go ahead and reveal them? Well, one is Sandy Koufax, who historically that makes sense. The other, how about I give you this hint?
Okay.
For the other one. He got them in a certain order. He got the two Cy Youngs first, then the two World Series rings, then the two no-hitters.
The two Cy Youngs, then the two World Series. Do you know?
Yeah.
Did you get it?
On that hint, I got it pretty quickly.
Yeah, that hint, the one who gave it to me is how I got it, too, with that hint.
A.J. Burnett. No, wait, he didn't win the Cy
No,
Young.
No.
Sorry, I was just thinking. I have no idea.
Tim Lincecum.
Oh, Tim Lincecum, wow.
Yeah.
World Series rings.
Yeah.
How about that's a good trivia?
He and Sandy Koufax, the only two in history. And those are real accomplishments, too. That's not some fluky thing that you throw in there just to narrow the field down, you know?
And by the way, Roger Clemens won two World Series. Let's see how many relief appearances Sandy Koufax made, because Tim Lincecum is about to be making some of those as he's in the
Smooth
bullpen.
Smooth segue.
Yeah, he is. So goodbye, Tim Lincecum. All rosters. See you later.
Oh, he made
Maybe
quite
not.
A bit. He made quite a bit. But they were earlier in his career as opposed to later in his career. Okay, guys, let's get to it here. We got a lot of news. The Cubs are calling up Jorge Soler to play right field. Is he a must-add?
I think he is. I think he is, because he's definitely a must-add in Roto. I put him, I think, number 48th in points. If I'm off, I'm off by one or two places only. So that kind of puts him in the discussion of maybe your utility slot after you filled three outfield slots. It's kind of... a little bit below that line, but he's got enough power upside that I could see you using him in a three outfielder plus utility league.
Yeah, here's some stats on Soler.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
the hype Chris Bryant has gotten, and deservedly so. He's put up crazy numbers in the minors. Both of them have split their time more or less between AA and AAA this year, so same two levels. Jorge Soler has a higher batting average and slugging percentage than Chris Bryant. So his production this year, and it wasn't up to snuff before this year, but this year, since coming back from the hamstring injury, only 200 at-bats, but still that's enough of a sample to buy into this breakthrough he's having in the minors and to suggest he's one of the top prospects in all of baseball.
What kind of a player is he? Power, speed?
No
average,
speed.
No speed.
Yeah, power.
Yep. Walks a lot.
Walks a good bit and doesn't strike out as much as you would expect for a minor league slugger. Like, Bryant has 150 strikeouts about right now, and Soler, I think he's about it. I'm not sure exactly what he's at, but it's not like he's a George Springer strikeout every third at bat type.
It's about every fifth at bat,
yeah.
I think. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
That's
respectable for a power hitter.
Okay. Would you rather have him or Arcia?
Soler.
I ranked him just a little bit ahead of Arcia.
Would you rather have Soler or Raimer Liriano?
Soler.
Yeah, definitely Soler.
Would you drop Alex Rios for Soler?
Yes, I would.
Wow.
Yeah.
I would at least bench him
Yeah.
for Soler.
All right. Yu Darvish may not pitch again in 2014 due to his elbow inflammation. Safe to drop?
Safe to well, no, not entirely safe, but it's one of those, like, if you have any reason to drop him, it's, you know, you're probably going to be okay.
Shin-Soo Chu out for the year with a bone spur in his elbow. Safe to drop?
Yes.
Safe to drop.
All right, he's going to have surgery soon. And Chu's also dealt with an ankle injury this year. What round are you thinking for next year, Shin-Soo Chu?
I think just on perception alone, you could probably wait till, I don't know, I'll say eighth round. Mm-hmm. I think he'll deliver better than that value. I think he comes back healthy. He'll be like a fifth round producer, but I don't think you have to take him that early.
Yeah, I don't. I would guess just more like 10th or 12th round, maybe, just knowing.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a comparable.
Yeah, maybe like Curtis Granderson.
Right, he went pretty late.
Yeah.
And he's lived up to that, lived down to that. Texas calling up Michael Choice, any interest?
I have some. I mean, not 12-team mixed league, but deeper. Yeah, I think I was disappointed he got sent down when he did.
He homered at a nice rate when he was up here and then got off to a slow start at AAA, picked things up, walks a lot, homers a lot. In that park, I think AL only leagues he needs to be owned.
Well, the Boston Globe just saw a little opinion piece there saying that the Red Sox should shut down Koji Uehara and let Heath Hembree and Edward Mujica close. Uehara blew his fourth save Monday night, and the article pointed out that when you count the postseason, Uehara has been heavily taxed over the last two seasons, maybe showing signs of fatigue. He says he's not finishing his pitches, which they interpret as signs of fatigue. So what do you guys think about Uehara, who got roughed up? Now, it didn't show up on his line. It went on Buchholz's line, but he did get roughed up and blew his fourth save yesterday.
I own him in several leagues. I benched him in every single one this week.
Wow.
And he will stay there until or if he puts together a string of, I'd say, at least three good appearances together. Because I was not encouraged when I saw the explanation for the slump is being fatigue-related.
And he didn't pitch that bad yesterday.
Yeah, he did. He let all the runs in. He came in with the bases loaded, gave up an RBI ground out, and then Encarnacion, I believe, tied it with a laser off the wall or something like that.
Oh, he gave up
so
the laser.
it doesn't look like.
I mean, it was one hit in 2/3 of an inning, and I was assuming the tapper. There was a weak little tapper the first batter he faced, and I assumed that
was an
hit.
Out. No, Encarnacion doubled off of him to tie the game. I'm almost positive. I'll double check, but yeah, I mean, there seems to be some concern there. Now, is there somebody to pick up in the Red Sox bullpen that would interest you?
Not really. I mean, I'd be sort of intrigued to see what Hembree can do. I'm not really interested in Mujica, even if he does get save opportunities. So, yeah, the answer would be no.
Monday standouts. Who do you guys have?
I have
Bring it on.
A standout by the name of A.J. Burnett.
Yeah.
Struck out 12.
I knew you were going to like that. The little mechanical adjustment.
Yeah, it's annoying, isn't it? Like, every time ready to just turn the page on A.J. Burnett, he's not going to do anything for you. He does something like this, striking out 12 batters in a game, and then offers a completely valid explanation for it. So it's like, all right, previous seven starts, he had a 6.41 ERA, but then the seven starts before that, it was like a 2.90 ERA, and he still gets strikeouts. So if there's a stretch of seven starts coming up where he can have a 3 ERA, you want to take advantage of it, get those strikeouts. He says the mechanical adjustment he found is something with the leg kick. He didn't really go into details, but he wished he had found it sooner because blah, 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 whatever. Maybe it's completely valid.
It was against
Washington.
But even
if it's...
And
yeah,
it was three hits and one run and one walk. It was a hell of a start.
But the thing is, he keeps finding these things and fixing them, and it works for a while, and then something goes wrong again. So his mechanics aren't, like, airtight, you know? And
right.
It just can never feel too confident with him. I think if he follows this start up with another good start, might be worth rolling the dice on him if you need strikeouts. Because there's not much of the season left. He could stay hot the rest of the season, theoretically. But I want to see a little more.
My standouts they come from the same game, so I feel like I can kind of sneak them in together. Rowanis Elias and Miles Michaelis look to be a dreadful pitching matchup based on record, and it wasn't at all. Both pitched pretty well, and this is more kind of with an eye towards next year because Elias is on an innings limit. He's not going to go deep into games. You can't count on him, including this week, to even pitch through scheduled two start weeks. He got a second start bumped already this week. Michaelis has been really consistent, but you notice that those horrible starts are very memorably bad. Mm-hmm. But he's had some really good starts in there, too. And I think if Elias can work out his control issues and, you know, and next year, you know, pitch more innings, and if Michaelis can just improve his consistency because he's a really good control pitcher. And, you know, we've seen what can happen with Phil Hughes and Brandon McCarthy when they can pitch well within the zone. If Michaelis can figure that part out, I think both could be very good options next year.
And Michaelis credited last night's start, 8 scoreless innings, 3 hits, to his catcher, Tomas Tellez, who made his major league debut. And we look forward to Tomas Tellez catching Neftali Feliz.
I hadn't until now.
Yeah, but now I will.
Shed the light
on. He got the save last night. I can only assume Tellez was still in there catching. I've got Pedro Alvarez as a standout. He has now homered 3 times and stolen 2 bases in his last 3 games. 73% owned.
Yep.
30 home run guy each of the last 2 years, and right now he's at 18.
Sure, and looks like he's back to playing first base. I do wonder against the left-handers with Gabby Sanchez.
Yeah,
them able to slot him in there, but you don't find much better power potential than that up at from a third base eligible player.
How about Trevor Rosenthal, guys? Gave up a home run last night. Got his 39th save, only the second home run that Rosenthal's allowed all year, and McCutchen. McCutchen is now homered in back-to-back games off K-Rod and Rosenthal in losing efforts. But this was bad to see. 5 earned runs, 8 walks in 6 appearances now for Rosenthal.
Yeah, it's getting to the point with him, too, where if you can't really move the needle in one direction or the other with saves, probably better off benching him. I think.
I just argued with Herc about this.
Yeah.
He yelled at me for sitting Rosenthal for Jimmy Nelson because he's crazy. But he's back, and we get his craziness later this week.
Look, there's... Well, I was just going to say, there are alternatives out there at closer. Maybe not in leagues where everybody who has a shot at saves is owned, but in anything shallower than that, Joaquin Benoit's still widely available, and he's back from a shoulder issue. Eric O'Flaherty just entered the mix for Oakland. Hector Rondon, I've mentioned before, I'm not sure it was on the podcast, but the Cubs' rotation...
Yeah,
so much better now that suddenly he's gotten like a third of his season saves in the last 2 weeks. He suddenly looks like a much better source of saves than he did earlier.
Rosenthal has 39, though. It's tough to turn that down.
Well, what I was going to say is that in say your specific situation, you know, or just any situation where you're an extra save or two a week isn't going to make a difference here on out, I think you should bench him. But if you do need saves, you know, I think he kind of got to put up with it. Now, I don't think he's in Uehara territory just yet.
Right. Yeah. Well, they got to start. Those low-scoring teams sometimes, they just abuse their bullpens because they're always in save situations, especially the ones that have good records.
Yeah. But, you know, just come full circle. I mean, you know, Scott threw out some good names there of people if you need saves.
Yeah.
Probably better right now than Rosenthal.
How did Chris Tillman do last night?
He did much better than I thought he would.
How do you feel about him now? 7 innings, 3 hits, 1 unearned run, 2 walks, 2 strikeouts against the Rays. And now a 2.05 ERA in his last 13 starts, Chris Tillman.
Wow, is that annoying or what? At least to me.
Yeah, I mean, to the Rays fans, too, I'm sure it was pretty annoying.
Yeah. You know, I wish I could say, I really wish I could say it changes things for me. Because when the streak goes on like this, for this length, you feel sort of silly saying that it's not legit, but he just still does not profile as a guy that can sustain this kind of success.
What about the fact that his defense behind him is so good? You know,
is it as good without Machado, though, really?
But they still have, I guess I don't know. But so far, they've obviously measured in as like an amazing defense. Great defense this year. Without Machado, it changes things, especially since Chris Davis is playing there.
I mean, I've given Sonny Gray some benefit of the doubt, largely because of the defense that plays behind him. But he's also much more of a ground ball pitcher than Tillman is, too. So, and the Orioles outfield, I don't know.
Well, Jones is good.
Yeah, I don't know.
All I know is every time I watch an Orioles game, all I hear about is how good their defense is.
All right.
Well, is he a must start, Scott? I know Al says no. Chris Tillman, must start?
No, not a must start. But I do think he's worth owning.
Liriano, must start?
No, not a must start there either. Although he did bounce back nicely from a dreadful start against the Buzzsaw Braves. But still, three walks or more and three straight starts.
That's what he does.
I know, but before that he wasn't. Like when the stretch, the hot, okay, so seven of his last eight starts, two earned runs or fewer. It started with few walks, and you're like, hey, look at this, throw more strikes. Woo. And he's not now, so I don't know. I guess he's in A.J. Burnett territory of, gosh, I wish I could trust him, but I just don't. He's just further along the hot streak than Burnett is right now.
Are there any other standouts, guys?
Well, let's go to the other side in that Rays-Orioles matchup.
Odorizzi.
This was the leap of faith for me that I never should have taken. That I decided in my own mind to graduate Odorizzi from venues matchups guy to must start. And he went
four
home runs against a good power hitting team in their great hitters ballpark.
Yeah, I wonder if there was more to it than that. I mean, 11 hits in four innings. He obviously was just off. But okay, he's back to venues for you.
Well, here's what's weird for me, if you don't mind me saying. Odorizzi is one of the more extreme fly ball pitchers in the game, right? He's definitely on that side of the equation. I don't feel like he really suffered from home runs all year. He had two starts where he gave up two, and then there's some one scattered in there like there would be for anybody. And then this four home run start now. So, like, I look at that game log and it's like, is he really getting burned by the venues that much?
Well, because he does pitch so many games at Tropicana Field, that's going to dilute those home run games in the game log to some degree. But and again, I don't have it committed to memory or anything, but I do remember seeing things in his game log that I found encouraging and thought, yeah, I think he'll be okay in Baltimore.
Yeah, well. So
he has another start to make up
for
it.
He does.
Yeah.
So email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. And, we're obviously going a little bit later in the day now, and it's not the most convenient thing for you listeners. So if you send an email, I'm going to do my best to read as many as we can. The shorter the better, though, with the emails kind of getting to the point would be nice. We're not going to have a show tomorrow, unfortunately. I have to dart early, and we will be back Thursday, though, with Herc, and Friday as well. Injuries, news, and notes, part uno. Boston signed Cuban outfielder Rusne Castillo. I skipped over this yesterday, Scott, but what do you guys think? Is he worth adding this year?
Well, not like Jorge Soler, now that Soler is up. Though I don't think he's far behind in terms of fantasy appeal. He will be up eventually. The Red Sox have basically said as much, provided he doesn't fall flat on his face in the minors, I guess. He'll be up and be their starting center fielder. And there have been some conflicting reports about how good he is as a hitter. And I think that's partially because his career in Cuba was up and down. He started out as a 320 type hitter with power, and then the last season he hit more like 270 and didn't look as good. I don't know what was going on there. I don't know if there's just such a wide spectrum of things that may have contributed to those struggles.
Yeah.
Not really sure what to make of them, but I do know that I trust the Red Sox organization with moves, signings like this. They gave him more than any other international signing got, which isn't to say he's the best of them, but still, they paid him a lot of money for over a long period of time. They believe in the upside. And there is definitely some power there. So I think there's a chance he could be a fourth or fifth outfielder type for Roto owners down the stretch, and I'd be willing to stash him ahead of time to capitalize on that.
That sounds about right to me, and I think in Roto leagues he's worth speculating on just because the one thing that I feel pretty certain about is he's going to steal some bases.
Even be up?
September.
Yeah.
You think September 1st?
Couple weeks? No. He'll need some time.
Probably as soon as minor league season ends, or if not sooner.
I'm just skeptical about what anybody can do at this point. He hasn't been facing live competition.
And I mean, I haven't been really aggressive, because frankly, in leagues where maybe I could use him, there was nowhere that I really saw fit to make space. But,
right.
Because again, you're going to get probably, I would think, at best, maybe 3 weeks out of him.
Tim Lincecum to the bullpen. Yusmeiro Petit to the rotation. Last year, Petit was solid as a starter. This year, not at all. But last 12 and a third, no hits, no runs, no walks, 16 strikeouts. He has a perfect game going now. 12 and a third out of the bullpen.
An extra innings.
Yeah,
perfect game.
He, with 16 strikeouts. Wow.
I'm excited. I'm very excited. And when the first inklings of this were being reported, I went to our analyst NL-only league and was shocked to find he was available, because in a league that deep, and then only a league that deep, usually just a prospective starter, is usually on somebody's roster. So I emptied out my FAB account, probably unnecessarily, to get him. And I think he's good for more than just NL-only leagues.
Yadier Molina and Michael Wacha are beginning rehab assignments, and Molina could be back soon. Robinson Cano returned to the Seattle lineup yesterday. Bartolo Colon cleared waivers, according to John Heyman, and now Bartolo Colon can be traded to any team. Chad Qualls was claimed off revocable waivers, according to Fox Sports. He could be traded now. He could be given to the team that traded him. He could be pulled back and staying in Houston. Who would close, do you think, if Qualls?
I would think Veras.
Yeah, good call.
I think the Tigers were the team that claimed him, right?
Were they?
That is right, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, okay.
Which?
I didn't see that this morning.
I don't think that would put Joe Nathan's job in jeopardy if Joaquin Soria didn't. But it's interesting since they have closer issues.
David Ortiz was out with a bruised foot. Matt Garza is making progress toward an early September return, but Ron Renicki wouldn't comment on who Garza would replace in the Milwaukee rotation. Our best bet?
Nelson, I would think.
Ron Renicki also said that Ryan Braun has been chasing too many bad pitches. Kind of downplay the thumb and said he was chasing too many bad pitches, and apparently Fangraphs backs that up. Braun also left last night's game with a quad injury, and he homered last night too, but check on Braun.
He's on a nice run though lately. 324, three home runs in his last eight, so maybe he stopped chasing those bad pitches.
Maybe. Mark Teixeira was out with a hamstring injury. Brett Gardner was out again with an ankle injury, but Gardner says he feels better. Willian Rosario is still day-to-day with the sore wrist. Brandon Belt will not do any baseball activities for a couple of weeks, and John Gibbons said he doesn't think there's anything wrong with Casey Jansen physically.
Yeah.
Here's a category called Going Yard at Camden Yards. Camden Yards screwed it up. Markakis homered, Pierce homered, Delman Young homered, J.J. Hardy homered, Chris Davis homered. What do you guys want to talk about?
With them?
With those five guys.
Boy, Jake Odorizzi had a really bad start.
Yeah.
Come on, Steve Pierce now.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm coming around a little bit on Pierce, because my take, even before he got benched for a while, was just that I didn't really think he was going to maintain the power, given that he had enough exposure to major league pitching and didn't have really great power numbers. But he is hitting more fly balls this year. There is some power there. So maybe, I mean, we're still talking about, just a few weeks left, but, maybe he can top this off as a career-type year where he can keep up what he's got going.
J.J. Hardy getting up there. He's got eight home runs now.
No. In home runs.
In home runs, yeah.
Okay.
That's good to see. He was stuck on, like, two for a while.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah, he's got four home runs this month.
And he's playing
the month's almost over, but
he's playing with a sprained thumb, I think it is, and he says it's not quite healthy yet. It's not showing in his numbers, so maybe he should have sprained his thumb a long time ago.
Look at his slash line for August. 333, 378, 565 for Joseph James Hardy. That's just the guess, by the way. Not sure about what JJ actually stands for. But
stands for J. J. Like J-A-Y.
Two J's?
Well, his middle initial is just the letter. It's like J. J. Hardy.
How is he the number 9 shortstop over the last 28 days in points leagues with 4 home runs and a batting average way over 300? What is that all about? Let's see where he is in Roto. He's 9th. The hell?
So he's not scoring or driving in runs? That would be my guess.
13 RBI. It's not bad. 13 runs?
I guess
not good.
Somebody in the company is just taking him and manually dragging him down the rankings.
305 batting average over the last 28 days. So I guess he got hot like 26 days ago. All right. Anyway, let's move on unless you guys want to talk about more Orioles.
No.
Had enough Oriole talk.
One up, two down. One up number one is Martin Prado, who is batting 417 with 3 home runs, 10 RBI, 8 runs, no steals, no walks, 7 strikeouts. Again, 417 with 3 homers in his last 9 games for Prado.
Yeah, but 5 of those 9 were started by left-handed pitchers, and he's batting about 350 with 1,000 OPS against lefties this year.
But yesterday it was Shields.
It was Shields. He had a good game. He hit one of those 3 home runs. It was the only one during that stretch that came against a righty. But it seemed like Shields was off just in general. He
was okay until the 6th or 7th, whenever it was. The Yankees had their big inning.
I just don't know about Prado. Like, if next week they're facing 6 righties, I'd probably start him. But if he doesn't have a good week, it wouldn't surprise me. He was the start the last 2 weeks at third base in the column because of all the lefties he had coming up. And so because he's capitalized them, I don't know that that means he's a changed player now. Just he did what he was supposed to.
Who am I? I am batting 155 with 1 home run and no steals in my last 27 games. I lead off, and I love cereal.
The very streaky Coco Crisp.
Yeah. Prior to this 27-game slump with 155, 1 homer, no steals, Crisp was batting 363 with 7 steals in the 32 games before this. So is this just a bad slump, or is this an injured player that needs to be dropped?
We don't know about an injury, do we?
Well, the neck has been an issue all year.
Mm-hmm.
He's been playing a lot and actually had a decent fantasy point week last week, but somehow. He just hasn't been very good.
Yeah, and I don't think he should be dropped, and he hit well when he was dealing with the neck injury. So we have this discussion every year about Coco Crisp. He's just maddeningly streaky.
Would you drop him for Solaire?
No, I wouldn't.
Would you drop him for Steve Pierce?
Definitely not.
No. No, I agree.
Two down, number two.
Look, just face it. I'm not dropping him.
Okay. Two down, number two is Colton Wong, who actually started against a lefty and went 2-for-4 with 2 singles, which in and of itself would be good enough to be part of one up. But since homering twice on August 7th, this man is batting 254 with a 286 on base and a horrible 299 slugging percentage. Colton Wong is 66% owned. Too many good second base options to be putting
Too
up
many.
With this garbage.
Too many.
But remember how good
Get
he was
him out of there.
For a
time, for a short time.
For
and,
a while.
And this is, in the scheme of things, a short time.
Yeah. He'll be good again. But like you said, there's a lot of second basemen. I mean, how are you going to – You got to draw the line somewhere, Adam, and I'd draw it at a 300 slugging percentage.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Oh, so he just gets in under that.
Yeah.
If he's slugging 301, you'd be starting him.
That's what I seem to suggest there, yes.
In the rotation, Jeff Samardzija, good. James Shields, bad.
Hmm.
Thoughts on those two?
Were they an Animal Farm or something?
I will give you the conch shell if you'd like to.
I don't know that I get this reference.
Isn't that an Animal Farm?
No, that was Lord of the Flies, wasn't it?
Oh, that was Lord of the Flies.
Same sort of genre.
Sorry.
what genre is that?
It was Four Legs Good, Two Legs Bad.
It was The genre was books I read in middle school or high school. Or actually, books I was supposed to read but didn't read because I hate reading.
You know what's great?
Stay in school.
Do you still hate reading?
I don't like reading books. No. I read sports stuff. I read articles.
I'd like to be able to read books, but it's just time consuming.
Yeah. Started, I don't enjoy books at all.
Started listening to them.
Yeah.
To and from the office. It's revolutionized my life, I'd say. I feel like I'm getting so much more out of my day.
What are you
now,
listening
taking
to?
Advantage. Right now I'm listening to Unbroken, which is going to be a movie here soon.
Oh, really?
It's a account of a real-life person in World War II, but it's written kind of like a narrative. I think Angelina Jolie has something to do with the movie. It's just not in it, but she's producing it or something.
When it comes out and people see the movie, are you going to go, yeah, I listened to that before it got popular.
I kind of don't like the idea of following up a book with a movie, because normally I don't do that, and I'm afraid it's going to diminish the caliber. Like, I'm going to be judging the movie based on the book. Mm-hmm. Didn't ruin Moneyball for me. But
did you listen to Moneyball or read it?
I actually read Moneyball. Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Al, how are you feeling about reading books?
I feel much like Scott does. I wish I had more time for it, because I enjoy it when I have time to do it.
Last book you read?
It's really been, unfortunately I can't remember the name of it. It was a history book that a friend gave me, but this is like early this year, so that tells you how long it's been. Pretty much all baseball season I have not read a book.
Don't blame you. Wait, so did we say anything about Samardzija or Shields?
Shields no, we had been amazingly good prior to this start. So
yeah.
Nine start string, 2.04 ERA.
K rate's way down, though, on the year.
Yeah, on the year, because he went through that long stretch where he wasn't really striking anybody out.
All right.
And even during this good stretch, it's not great, but you don't really expect it to be great, just good from Shields.
Samardzija, first time in five starts he struck out a batter per inning, and it was the hapless Astros.
It was the Astros, who had double-digit strikeouts all three of their games against the Indians. Against some hard-throwing pitchers there in Bauer, Salazar, and Carrasco, but I was kind of expecting a big strikeout game here for Samardzija. I'm not sure it says anything about him.
Okay. Pineda was good yesterday. 6 1/3, 5 hits, 1 run, no walks, 5 strikeouts. He's got a 1.95 ERA and has become a control pitcher. It's very weird. 4 walks, 27 strikeouts in 37 innings. And the last two starts, he's thrown 74% of his pitches for strikes against Houston and at Kansas City.
I mean, he's been a good control pitcher, but he's becoming a great one.
Yeah, this is insane. Mm-hmm. Because he still doesn't, in order to throw deep into the game, he has to pitch like this. Because he only threw 96 pitches. It's not like they're going to throw him 110 pitches. I mean, look, maybe they will. I don't think so. They didn't need to lift him yesterday, but they did anyway. So this is like his way of surviving into the sixth inning or seventh inning. It's kind of weird. Is he must own for first start of that, Pineda?
He's in the discussion there. I don't know that he's quite there, but I think he's owned in all of my leagues. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, if he's on waivers, I'm taking care of that situation.
Pineda or Fires?
Fires.
Fires, yeah.
All right, then.
Fires is must start.
Kyle Loesch, do you consider him a must start?
No.
And are you concerned that Tanner Roark has only struck out 2 in each of his last 2 starts?
Not really, because I'm not looking for strikeouts from Roark.
Yep. He's got to have a pretty good whip, right?
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah, and yesterday, 6 base runners in 6 innings, 2 runs. Fringy starting pitchers, rank them. Buchholz, Burnett, PV, Cozart.
PV, Burnett, Cozart, Buchholz.
I would switch Burnett and PV, but then Buchholz, Cozart.
So you're flipping the tops and the bottoms.
Yeah, you're flipping everything. Because he had Buchholz last.
Oh, okay.
You're not into Buchholz?
Flipping the top in that, yeah.
3 of Buchholz's last 4 starts, 7 innings or more, 3 runs or less, only 2 walks in each of them.
No, I just, I mean, gosh, when he's And he doesn't do this. Yeah. It's like disaster. Yeah, it's bad. I just don't want to. I don't want to be standing there in the wreckage, and ruin.
Deep leagues. Any interest in Miles Michaelis, who we talked about? Tyler Matzik, Scott Feldman, or Jay Happ?
Jay Happ less.
He's not that bad.
Tyler Matt Suck.
Nice.
Yeah, I try Scott Feldman. Those are easy, but
Scott Feldwoman.
Well, that's just sexist.
That is wrong. That is wrong.
It's the only thing I can think of with his name.
It's
not to call him a girl.
Scott
Flubman.
Feldman. Nah,
Feldman and I can't get up.
Better.
Thanks. Hashtag Urkel. All right, we're not interested in those guys. Some more news and notes. You know Escobar won't be going to Oakland, according to Joe Maddon, Baseball Insider.
I don't think that was Urkel.
I'm falling and I can't get up.
I think that was an old commercial.
Is that what you think?
He doesn't just think that. He's actually correct.
He's actually 100% wrong.
Urkel was, did I do that?
And I've fallen and I can't get up.
I don't know. Urkel may have stolen it from the commercial.
He did.
The commercial stole it from Urkel.
No.
Listen to Al. He's the oldest of all of us.
Because I am old.
He was a sentient being when we were alive.
You're
for the
kidding
commercial.
Me.
That commercial was around for a long time, yeah.
Longer than Urkel?
Longer than Urkel.
Wow.
Sentient
I just had my world rocked. As Jubal Cabrera pinch hit yesterday, he has tightness in his right side. Aaron Hill may move to third base. Brad Peacock will start tomorrow. Marcelo Zuna batted fourth. Casey McGee batted fifth. McGee has a much better RBI per game rate as a cleanup hitter. Makes sense with Stanton hitting in front of him. So keep an eye on that. Marco Scudero out for the season. Angel Pagan was in the lineup. He went 1-for-4 with a double and a run. Jed Jerko pinch hit, and Everett Cabrera could be back in about a week with his hamstring strain.
That Aaron Hill move to third base, bad news for Lamb.
I can't believe this Urkel thing.
Well,
unbelievable.
Life didn't begin with TGIF, Adam.
It did for me. I'm starting to think that with these emails, people are just making things up.
It's what people do, particularly on the internet.
Chris in the ITC says, "Dear Sabes, Gooby, and Jax." Like, there's no way that's real.
And then he puts a question mark, like, that might be three of something.
Well, that's Saberhagen, Gubiza, and Jax question mark.
Okay.
Some Royals pitcher I can't put my finger on there.
Okay.
Danny Jackson? Did he pitch for the Royals?
Jackson Pollock. That's who it is.
I think Danny Jackson's probably a better guess.
Probably. last week on the podcast, Al was higher on Wood over Gray, Alex Wood over Gray, as a keeper for 2015. Would Adam and Scott be persuaded knowing Wood is RP eligible next year?
He's roast beef eligible.
Danny Jackson pitched for the Royals from 1983 to 1987. That sounds like the right time period, doesn't it?
Does.
Yeah.
Unless it's Bo Jackson.
Oh.
But probably not, since he's a pitcher.
Pitchers, yeah. Does that sway me?
Would you keep Wood as a Sparp over Gray as a Spasp?
Nah, I just don't think I would. Maybe when I get to making out the rankings, it'll change. It's close enough that I could see it changing.
While you're at it, could you speculate on the top Sparps for next season? How would you rate Wood, Shoemaker, Carrasco, Aaron Sanchez, and others?
Yeah, that Aaron Sanchez one is kind of interesting. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else, a young pitcher.
Well, Derek Norris, if he comes up, and he will.
Or Daniel.
Yeah, Norris. Daniel. Derek Norris is a catcher for the Athletics. Daniel Norris is a left-handed pitcher for the Blue Jays.
So since I can't think of others in the Sanchez category, I can't think of anybody that I put in the same category as Wood for next year.
Pomeranz could gain, if he makes one more relief appearance, he'll be a Sparp next year. Drew Pomeranz.
He will?
Mm-hmm. It's at 9.
Oh, wow. About that.
Yeah, so watch for that. Wood's going to be number one, though. It's pretty clear.
Johnny in Jamaica. Dear Hulk, Macho, and Flair. 12-team head-to-head. Oh, this is great. 12-team 2H2 points league. I think you mean H2H, but that's okay. The best format, says Johnny in Jamaica. I have a keeper conundrum. I have a team filled with marginal keepers and breakouts. We can keep six players, three hitters, three pitchers. What do I do with the likes of Arenado, Cole, Waka, Brantley, and Fires? Are they the real deal, or should I go with more established players?
You
can just keep... Well, okay. Yeah, nobody here... Well, Waka. Okay, Waka's the one that stands out here. I think you can feel safe going with him. But yeah, I would go with more established players. I guess Brantley, too. I think...
Oh yeah,
in a six-keeper league, Brantley's earned his way there.
This is Michael Brantley, right? I have him projected to go in the second round next year. Yeah. So
it's not Jeff Brantley.
Yeah, he's definitely in for me. Arenado potentially, I could see him because third base is a weak position. I could see him going.
One of your three hitters you keep though, I don't think I'd build my team next year around him. Be a nice piece to draft, but
well. I guess if you're limited to the number of hitters you're keeping. Because I was thinking I could see him going as early as round six next year. But we'll see. I haven't worked that deep into it yet.
P.S. The Simpsons jumped the shark when Homer jumped the shark.
When did Homer jump the shark?
You know, I don't remember that. I remember the Daredevil jumping the tank with the eels and the shark. But I don't remember Homer jumping a shark. Chris in Iowa. Good afternoon, John, Robert, and Ted. Danson's.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding. I have no idea. What?
Yeah, I thought maybe Kennedy's.
That's probably a better... Yeah. Nice call. I was wondering if you would be interested in using my brand new machine called the Keepometer. Like the Warriometer.
Oh, come on.
What?
Keepometer.
Keepometer. Like the Worryometer, but way different. The Keepometer allows you to rate the value of players from 0 to 10. 0 being unkeepable, 10 being a must-keep. 15-team Roto League.
This is such a privilege.
$2 Bauer.
I haven't used the Keepometer before, so hang on. It's going to...
Okay, so I'm sorry. 10's a must-keep. All right, so he's a 2.
$2? 15-team league?
You're right. Yeah, you're right.
I'll go.
I haven't calibrated mine right.
8.
Okay, I'm up to 6. I don't know what I was thinking.
Gossman, $1.
7.
I'll go 6 again.
Stroman, $10.
I'm going to go 4 there.
Lower?
Lower, yeah.
I was thinking about going 8 again. I think that's...
$10. I still, even in a 15-team league, I'm not sure you would have to spend 10.
You reminded me it was a 15-team league. I'm sticking with 8. I'm sticking with it.
Farquhar, $1.
That's probably a 1.
Agreed.
Quintana, $1.
I actually, going into this year, got Quintana for $1 in a 15-team league. I don't think his value's increased that much. So, yeah, I'll say like a 3.
I'm going 6.
Kyle Hendricks, $1.
6.
5.
From William. Dear Frank, Dennis, and D. Kennedy's?
No, I don't think so.
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. This is going to sound weird coming from me, but I hate that show because all they do is yell the entire time.
That does sound weird coming from you. Do you hate All in the Family, too? Because all they do in that is yell all the time.
I never saw All in the Family.
Well, they yell all the time.
I'm in first place going into the playoffs of a Roto League. My team is built on runs, steals, and average. Who do you like to contribute more in those categories over the last month? Runs, steals, and average. Charlie Blackman or Adam Eaton?
I'm going to say Charlie Blackman.
Have you looked at this final month to see if there's a lot of home games?
That's a good point. I think it's pretty even.
Okay. Yeah. I will say him too, mostly because of the steals aspect. I don't know how he's done in steals lately. Maybe I shouldn't say that. I'll go Blackman, though.
From Malik, Gray the Trade. Hey, Jackie, Marlon, and Tito.
Jackson's.
All right.
Yeah. 12-team dynasty head-to-head categories. Keep 20. Draft 10. Okay, yeah. I'm getting a little flack for trading Ian Kinsler and Eddie Butler for a first-round pick, but I can explain. There's a six-team race for the last four playoff spots, and I traded Kinsler to a team behind me in the standings. But he plays two of the teams in front of me for the last 2 weeks. I have Wong and Bias to keep at second base for the future. I like to keep my team relatively young. Does all this balance? Does this all balance out in your opinion?
No, I don't really like that.
I don't mind it though. You're weakening your opponents.
Yeah,
I just
you're getting out of it is a 21st round pick essentially, right?
I mean, that's you take that strategy element out of it. I mean, it's a vetoable trade.
Yeah. All right. Christopher, approve the move. Dear Andres, Todd, and Justin. Verlanders. I have to take bold action if I am to beat out the other two teams at the top of the standings in my 10-team 5x5 mixed league.
Oh, Rockies first baseman, Andres Galarraga, Todd Helton, Justin Morneau.
Excellent. Nice.
All right, I'm way ahead in homers and second in RBI, but I need points in average, runs, and steals. I'm looking to drop David Wright, move Prado to third base. So then I could pick up Wong, Solarte, Bonifacio, Dyson, Stubbs, Aoki, Jordan Schaefer, and John Jay. Would you drop David Wright for any of those guys? Wong, Solarte, Bonifacio, Dyson, Stubbs, Aoki, Schaefer, Jay.
I just hate to move Santana out of the catcher spot. He's so valuable
there. You don't have to.
I thought he's saying...
He could do that or move Prado from middle infield to third.
I thought that's what he was doing if he was dropping Wright.
No, he'd be doing one or the other, Prado or Santana.
Oh,
yeah.
Anyway.
I don't think so. I mean, this is one of those things where I think I'd have to really sit down and you know look because this is wait a second this is head oh no this is 5x5, so I would really have to look at the standings because I would hate to drop Wright for anybody on this list, and yet it could help you. For me, it would probably come down to Solarte and Stubbs. And I don't think Solarte would help enough in steals. Gut feeling is not to do it, but I'd look at those two guys and see if they could help you in the categories where you need the help.
Michael from Atlanta. Grade the trade. Hi, Dr. Rose and Amy. I'm in first place in a 10-team, 35-man roster, 6x6 Roto Keeper League. Extra categories are OPS and innings. I just traded Matt Adams for Matt Shoemaker. Grade the trade. Giving up Adams, getting Shoemaker.
I think that's probably a D.
I'll go D+.
Yeah.
Matt Adams has been hot garbage, though, lately.
And Shoemaker has been hot.
Yes, hasn't been very long. Plus, you're considering the keeper aspect there. And his Roto.
Yeah, I don't really like it.
Yeah.
Joe from Chicago, grade the trade. Long-term keeper league, 12-team head-to-head points. We get five keepers consisting of two hitters, two pitchers, and one rookie. I am one of two division leaders, presumptive second seed in the playoffs, and last year's champion, my trade partner, is out of the playoff hunt. I picked up Matt Harvey off waivers for $1, and I immediately flipped him and Sonny Gray for Wainwright and Weaver.
Yeah, I don't really have a problem with that. Are we grading it or was this...
Yeah, grade the trade. Give up Harvey and Gray for Weaver and Wainwright in a keeper league he's trying to win this year.
Yeah, I'll give it a B+.
I'll give it a B-.
Okay. Thanks, everybody. Back on Thursday with another edition of the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast and our last live video show of the year. Sunrise, sunset. See ya.